30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good morning and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. Episode 13, I think this is, of The Bad Batch. That sounds right. I don't know. We talk about filler, and I hate using the word filler because filler has that negative connotation where it's, you know, filling time. It originated in anime where it was episodes that were of very little consequences that were designed to, what am I looking for here? Designed to get the... move the plot along, I guess would be the right way. Not move the plot along, stagnate the plot while the manga caught up. And in this case, calling what went on this week on The Bad Batch filler doesn't really apply. And I think, too, filler does a lot to build character, and there's a lot of positives to filler. But the issue here is... the goal is to get to... I keep wanting to actually call it Tantus. The goal is to get to Tantus, because the team has to liberate Omega. And they need to get, you know, the coordinates. So they go and they get this Imperial guy who can get them coordinates to Tantus. And the whole thing's just like, I don't need to see any of this. Can we just, you know, get to Tantus? Like, they had a plan to track Omega. There's no reason why you had to do this. It is very much the, we have an episode count to hit. So, let's just, you know, milk this a little bit to get it into where we need to. Because if you look at, like, it reminds me a lot of that episode of, what's it called? Of Jessica Jones. And I feel like I've referenced this a lot. In season one of Jessica Jones is an episode where they've captured Kilgrave and they have him in this, hyperbaric chamber. Where his powers won't be able to influence anyone else. He won't be able to use his abilities to control anyone. And it's like, great, we've caught Kilgrave. That should be the end of the show. But it's like episode, 10 of 13 or 7 of 10 or whatever the count of the episode was. It was, 3 before the finale. And it's like, alright, so he's gonna escape. They're not gonna keep him locked up in here. And just be like, well, here's 3 episodes of nothing while we keep him locked up in here. So he ends up escaping because he manages to, without using his powers, convince Carrie Ann Moss to release him. And he gets out. Which is kind of what this episode feels like. Because it's like, well, we had a plan to track, to track Omega... you know, and again, it's one of those things where it's like, look, I've had my, I enjoy The Last Jedi, I will say, but checking through hyperspace has always been a thing, right? It has been a thing for as long as, you know, characters are able to go through hyperspace. It's a key plot point in Attack of Clones, and this plan is contingent on tracking through hyperspace, and it's like, alright, this is a thing that has been baked into Star Wars forever. What's the difference with, you know, with this? What's the difference with this? I think it was I think the difference was, rather than tracking, it just poorly worded in the movie, I think rather than tracking through hyperspace, what it was keeping them at the end of, a leash. So, if they went, then, you know, they were able to immediately follow. It wasn't so much, track them, and it's like, okay, well, we know where they went, let's follow them. It was very much, well, just, you know, we know where they're going before they, as they do, so we'll just follow them. But I don't care about any of this anymore. Like, here's the thing, is I'm at the end of my rope, which is fitting considering the show's almost over, at least. Like, I'm at the end of my interest in continuing to watch this week in and week out, because, number one, it's running at the same time as X-Men 97, and X-Men 97 is a fundamentally a better show. And I enjoy that more week in, week out. We'll watch that tonight and talk about it tomorrow. It's just this one gets the Thursday slot because it came out first. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, I can't stand the way this is going. Where it's like, it's just taking so fucking long to get to probably very little. Probably very little at the end of the day. I don't think we're going to get to the end of this and have it be a satisfying ending where it's like, good, and they defeated the Empire, because we know that Project Necromancer ends up working. Like, and then the question is, like, is this going to be, like, you know, like, I think the finale is, you know, now, as the show is going, there's a chance this finale ends up like the end of The Last of Us. With Hunter going through and rescuing Omega as she's about to be operated on. I think there's a very real chance of that. But, I don't know. I'm not super intrigued by this continuing story, because the mysteries that it's setting up are things we know the answer to already. Like, again, a lot of what the expanding universe has become in the wake of the Rise of Skywalker, we're now 5 years out from it almost. 4.5 years out from it. Well, 4 1/3 years mm-hmm. out. I'm not going to exaggerate. But the issue is a lot of the expanding universe has been trying to cut puzzle pieces to fit together to make the Rise of Skywalker make sense in canon. Because fundamentally, it doesn't. Considering the world, the way the world was built out for the last, you know, 10 years almost that the new canon has been established. When you read those early books, and you read even the books up until, like, 2018, there's no indication that the Emperor is alive. There's no indication there's a cloning plan to bring the Emperor back. There's evidence to the exact opposite, where it's like, the Emperor's dead. Like, we have nothing, he's not coming back, we are not dealing with this anymore, we have won, victory is ours, and like, look, you can say that, like, oh, the rebels just didn't know, but I'll counter that with, like, the rebels may not have known, but at the same time, there are books from the perspective of the Empire, and stories from the perspective of the Empire, and they don't know. So, look, you can say, oh, it was an ultra-secret thing, but, like, even the Emperor's plans post-death contradict each other. We've talked about this before, the idea that Operation Cinder does not really fit in with what plans the Empire had post, what's it called, post-Return of the Jedi. Like, why would he go and try to destroy all these planets? And so, like, you end up with Alphabet Squadron trying to, like, again, cut it together and be like, okay, well, this is a part of the plan because it spreads out the Rebel fleet, so that way the Rebel fleet will go and, you know, try and stop this while we amass around Jakku, and then when they, you know, and then when we get, when they find out about Jakku, we will just fuck them up there, and then that fails, which still doesn't feel like a great plan, but it's like, alright, sure, I guess. But it is one of those weird things where it's, I don't think this is well handled too much, and then that's this entire season has become. This entire season has become, let's explain more about how the Empire was working with clones. And I think the show worked better as a bridge to the original trilogy than it does a bridge to the sequels. When it was in its early stages, and even, like, you know, last year, when it was, okay, so here is the story of how they went from a clone army to a conscript army, and how the clones are being phased out and being treated in that phase out. It's great, because it becomes an allegory for how America treats its soldiers, which Star Wars has always been an anti-American allegory, where it's like, look, America prefers their heroes dead. If you have a living hero, you gotta take care of them. And we don't want to do that. We want to just, you know, we have the heroes die, and then it's like, great, congratulations. You served your country, you served your people, you've done what you had to, and you gave the ultimate price. That is, you know, that's how we like our heroes in this country. If they're alive, then it's like, well, you're a hero, but we don't want to pay for your health insurance. We don't want to pay for your mental health services to deal with what you went through. All that stuff is kind of, and that's kind of where this is. It's like the clones were heroes for most of it. Like, not only did the clones, you know, end the Clone Wars, but also the clones put down the Jedi Uprising in the eyes of the general public, as put out by a propaganda arm of the Empire. So the question is, it's like, well, how do we treat these clones now? So it's an interesting look at that. It's just, now the show is spending too much time trying to fix the sequels. And it's just not interesting, because it's like, all you had to do was say we had a cloning program. It's like, all right, great, we got this. You know, I understand, you were working on a cloning program in secret. Focusing an entire season around that is not interesting. Because it's like, okay, well, we have to figure out how to make the clones be able to, you know, retain their midichlorian count. Okay, cool. That's why it took so long. Alright, great, move on. I don't need all of this. But we will wrap up there for today. We'll continue on with this next week. Later this week, tomorrow, we have X-Men 97. Saturday, we have The Girls on the Bus. Friday evening, or tomorrow evening, we'll be doing Civil War, the new Alex Garland movie about a fictional American Civil War. I think it's the only movie I got this weekend. But we'll wrap up there for today. Oh, The Informant starts on Sunday. The new HBO series with Robert Downey Jr. So due to the fact that I have stuff Monday morning, the episode's about that will be Monday evening. But we'll wrap up there for today. And until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.